This is Warbird Radio.
Hey, it's Matt from Warbird Radio Live. Listen, if you're trying to find something special for one of your aviation buddies, visit us online at warbirdradio.com/deals. DEALS. Warbirdradio.com/deals for some great offers from aviation memorabilia. Just a cool stuff that all pilots will enjoy. You can find it at warbirdradio.com/deals. And remember, every dollar that you spend there on the deals page or even through our Amazon store, which is on the right side of the screen there, it helps keep the station on the air. And boy, every penny helps. And we certainly appreciate your business. Warbirdradio.com/deals.
Jeff Harold here from Shaden Precision Eyewear. Shaden offers unmatched headset comfort with the best in titanium and composite frames and non-polarized lenses. Eyewear for the true aviator. Visit us online now at Shaden.com. That's Shaden.com. Again, Shaden.com. Be sure to enter the promo code Warbird, and you're going to receive 30% off your order. Visit Shaden.com right now. Put in Warbird and get 30% off.
Our thanks to our friends at Aerospace Specialties, the industry standard for quality, craftsmanship, and precision. When it comes to handcrafted compound-formed Warbird parts, look no further than our friends at Aerospace Specialties. They've been doing this since 1971, and they're standing by now for your order. Aerospace Specialties, call them today, 304-647-5024. That's 304-647-5024.
Reminding you that radial engines don't leak oil. They just mark their territory. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
The following broadcast may not be suitable for anyone. Consider yourself warned. This is Hartman and Hill.
Hello, hello, hello. We're back. I'm Mike Buzzard Hartman.
And I'm Patrick Starfish Hill for the Hartman and Hill Show. You just cut me off again.
I'm excited.
I know you are, but you don't have to cut me off. I'm trying to intro Andy here.
Intro Andy.
Andy in our mailroom. Andy, say hello to everybody.
Well, hello, everybody.
Well, hello, everybody. Andy says it again. Every time.
Oh, it's good to be back.
It is great to be back. You know, I had a little bit of a break, what, week and a half?
But, hiatus.
It's been kind of nice.
Hiatus.
I like it. I like to take breaks.
Pat!
Yeah?
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mike?
I am doing good. What you been up to?
Not a lot. I've been working on the house. You know, I still remodeling. Been about 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 months now. Nah, it's only been a couple months. But, I still don't have a shower.
Still don't have a shower? So what
still
are you doing? Hotel room?
Well, I can't afford that. Gas station would be nice.
Girlfriend?
There's a McDonald's. No, I don't have one of them yet.
Oh.
But there is a... there's a McDonald's down the road. I use their restroom, of course. They've been kind of wondering what's going on with that.
Just kind of lather up in the sink. Yes!
I prefer the toilet.
Ooh.
I think it's cleaner. Well, I think it's cleaner.
There are some studies.
There's cleaner, and they got these little things I can put around the seat.
But wait a minute. I can see you drying yourself off, though, because they don't have towels.
No, I use the blower on the wall. I just get it all up on that. Do a little striptease, kind of dance
nice.
To it. Wow.
Speaking of that, do you have a fireman's pole in your house when you're remodeling?
Well, I have put a pole in the middle of the living room, but it's for the structure, of course. It's for the structure.
A little strengthening.
You know. I mean, it's right in the middle.
Keeps the ceiling up.
Yeah, I had to put a support booth and some lights around it and stuff so that you could see it, because I don't want people to miss it.
Exactly.
How's your development?
Right.
It's all in the placement. That's all I gotta say. It's about the placement, and I had to use bearings because I didn't want people to run into it. So I want to make sure it's nice and free, and it spins and it works. It works well.
Speaking of bearings, you've been working on something else, haven't you?
Yeah,
I caught you. I saw you doing it the other night.
What did you catch me doing?
Working on your hanger.
Oh yeah, that. Yeah, I'm trying to get a door on the thing. But wait, there's a door there.
There's a door on it.
The door motor.
Okay.
Trying to get a motor so that way I don't have to pull the chain because, you know, my arms, I've been throwing on my back. You know, I'm not in the shape that I used to be.
These are chain-operated hangers at Marine Air Park, and Patrick has one of these things.
It's a torture device, I would say.
Is there a common fix, though?
Yeah, you put a motor on it.
What kind of motor? What do you do?
Just a motor. You
electric
put a motor,
motor
with a belt, and you just put a switch thing in there, and you wire it up? I don't know.
I would put a 440 right.
Oh!
I don't know.
You start that thing up.
So what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Come on, let's go open the door, Patrick.
Yeah.
That'd be one expensive way to fly. It's like, I'm going to go fly. Well, what do you mean? I got to open the door. I'm going to spend $20 in gas for the door and then $20 in an airplane to fly.
It'd be cheaper to operate the airplane versus the door.
Oh.
440, right, we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big nast.
Do you see those motorcycles?
Can you imagine how fast, though, that door would go up?
Oh. Oh.
Why would I even want a door then? Just have the engine just going blah, 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 blah.
That's what we need. Just a 440 right on a stand.
Blah, 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 something blah, blah, to play with at night.
With the prop.
With the fan. We'll make it a fan.
But the prop will go.
Yeah. Yes. Now, wait a minute. How would the prop do that when it's stationary?
It'll start.
It'll go.
It'll start. I know.
We'll speed it up.
But it's like it's making a pass. Now, if it's just stationary, it doesn't just
go.
Exactly.
That'd be nice because it's constant.
I don't like that.
But then everybody in the neighborhood and at the airport would go, oh, Patrick's here.
No, I know what we'll do.
Patrick's here.
We'll put another motor on the door so we can open and close it. So when the door goes open, it'll be like, and you close the door and it goes away.
Exactly.
That'll work.
Just keep it in there and it'll make it sound.
I'll just get a different motor for the door.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Double it.
Would you have it in coarse pitch or fine pitch?
Fine.
What's the difference?
Oh, lordy. We have a topic for next week.
I mean, it's
moving right along.
And Patrick,
I still got the Funk for sale. I still got the Funk for sale, trying to sell it so I can, you know, get something a little bit bigger. I'm trying to get into the aerobatics. That's what I want to do. Follow in your footsteps, Mike, of, you know, wanting to do aerobatics. I think that's cool. And
thank you.
You're very welcome. I would love to do that. But, all honesty, I am showering at home. I use a water hose. I don't stink, just for the ladies out there. Just, you know, I want
to. You use
I use a water hose from outside. It's really cold, so you're kind of like, it's really, really cold.
Do you run it through the bathroom window?
No, I actually have a spigot outside the house.
You are completely outside.
So you're outside?
Naked.
Naked.
Yeah, I think my neighbor caught me.
Wow.
But you know what? Give him a little show.
Oh, lordy.
Give him a little show.
Wow.
It sucks when the soap gets in your eyes and you can't find the hose and you bump
and
into it.
And he's running around the backyard looking for the hose.
My dogs just look at me like, oh, dummy. So, it works. I like it. So
maybe you could run it through your bathroom window.
No, because I don't have the stuff ready for the plumbing, so that doesn't work. So.
Okay.
But Mike, what's new with you?
I don't know. I'm just happy to be back, man.
Oh, God, you're all excited.
Oh, that's great. I've been doing an IPC check, which used to be called an ICC check, but now it's IPC.
What's IPC mean?
Instrument proficiency check. Used to be an instrument competency check.
I'm not there yet.
I work for the CIA, but I only tell people that so they don't think I work for the SAS.
What's the SAS?
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'm doing an instrument thing, and I haven't flown an instrument in a while, so it's kind of like, you know, it's coming back slowly, but it's like reading a different language. It's totally different stuff, but it's exciting and fun.
Oh, that's like when you guys are always talking about, like, making approaches on an ILS through this VOR vectoring and this stuff here, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, exactly.
I have no idea what that means.
Exactly. And if you're on the ILS and you use the glide slope, you have to use your localizer minimums.
Oh.
Okay. See, I'm studying on the air. So that's not really too interesting.
Not really.
I'm not doing anything in a tail dragger, blah, blah, blah. But it is fun, and I'm glad I'm getting current.
What are you flying in?
Mm-hmm.
Was that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I couldn't hear you. You have to speak a little up.
It's called a sky lane, like a lane in the sky. Beautiful airplane. Wonderful.
Cessna, isn't it?
A Cessna?
It's a Cessna. It is.
If you have three landing gears.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same as if you had a tailwheel.
You got three gears, of course.
You got one in the back there.
How do you know I'm not flying a 195?
Yeah. How do you know he's not flying a Cessna Bobcat?
It's a 185. Wow. It's a 182.
182, 185.
Yeah,
really,
but almost the same.
And I want to say, to 182 owners out there, it actually is a pretty nice flying airplane. It's zippy, you know, and it can haul a decent amount of weight. And I'm just going to move on to what else I did. I cut the grass here at the airport for a little bit.
You cut the grass here.
The runway was a little long. So I jumped in the Alice.
Oh, the big tractor.
The big one.
Yeah, I remember that because I was rescuing a turtle with my friend Sam that got wandered off from the river over here by the hangar, and I broke down on my golf cart, called for help, and where were you?
On the tractor. But I'm only doing 3 miles an hour. It's going to take me 9 years to get to you.
I had to push the thing all the way up the hill both ways.
Did it not have a little bit of juice in it?
Okay, it had a little.
Which takes some of the weight off of pushing a golf cart.
It wasn't enough.
I mean, I was on that big Alice Chalmers tractor. You know, I was making like a 20-foot swath down the runway.
A swath, still.
A swath.
I needed you.
Yeah, swath through the swale.
Wow. I needed you and you weren't there.
I was on my way.
Really?
Like when you came over the levee,
yeah.
I was facing your direction.
Because you were going to go put it away.
I was, and then I was going to get you.
So you're saying you're on the direction to come get me, yet you're going to put it away.
You were with someone. You weren't alone. There's no bad people on that side of the wheel.
Really?
That's why the levee's there.
You keep the bad people out.
You know, it looks bad if you have guard towers around the airport.
Yes.
So levee seems to work a little bit better. It's a little more user-friendly.
Yeah, it's better than electrified fence.
Right.
And they never let us out of this darn place
and
either.
This is like, this airport is like being in a castle. Surrounded by a moat.
I never thought
that
because we
wonderful.
Do have to take
we
a
have,
bridge to get
exactly,
here.
Exactly, we do.
We have a river, three sides of the airport.
If only we could trench the backside.
And so, yeah,
trench it.
But
trench
there is a
it.
Fence
Dig
on the backside of the
make
airport here.
Deep. Yes.
But he's talking about a fence.
Yes.
That's not electrified.
No.
We need electricity.
Oh.
If you're
going
to put a fence, you need to make people
make
like
that
a
thing
bug
just
zapper.
Electric.
Really?
That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Concertina wire?
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Maybe some claymores
like
out in front.
Wire.
Oh, like they used back in like World War II.
Claymores.
And prisoners and stuff.
Yeah.
Claymores.
We got Sterminites in the wire! Boom! Boom!
That
was just
trees.
A joke. Yeah. That was
we like the Stearmans. We like the Stearmans.
We love the Stearmans. Stearmans are nice airplanes.
Great.
We talked about the Stearmans
we did.
Once.
We did.
Yes.
First of Walkout. It was a good show.
Hmm.
A good show. Andy, what's new with you?
Well... finished the annual on the Waco.
I'm so happy
good.
To see you.
Yeah.
I'm so happy we're here.
Well,
this
yeah,
is great.
I'm good. I'm glad to see you too.
Good.
Glad to see you too.
Good.
Annual finish on the Waco. It'll be going, we're in the no-fly zone right now.
Mmm. Yes.
The National Waco Club fly-in.
Yes.
Which I run the club with Doug Parsons. And, that fly-in is coming up here. In about a week and a half, it's starting. So it's always been tradition. I'm in the no-fly zone. I don't fly the Waco between now and the time I take off to head to the fly-in.
In case something breaks.
In case something breaks.
Yeah,
you know, at least it'll break en route, and I will make it there.
And it'll be broken there.
It'll be broken
there,
and I'm okay with
You're
that.
You're good.
Yes.
I'm good with that. There's plenty of people there to work on it with me, and so we're all good.
Static display.
You know? Yeah, static display. I don't care. It's there.
It's there.
And
it's
this
there.
Is this
is
a big thing for you guys, and for those people who haven't been to Mount Vernon, it is a really neat take-you-back kind of experience.
Oh, definitely. It's a grassroots-type fly-in, you know, and we normally get about 35 WACOs, and... it's a good time. Everybody's flying all the time, giving a lot of rides. So, but anyway, so the Waco's ready to go. Still working on the rear one. We actually made significant progress today. We're getting closer. The hope is to be able to take it to the Waco flying as well. With Mike Lucas, my partner, flying it. So
that'd be awesome.
Will it be able to land at Mount Vernon?
Yes, it'll be able to land
because
at Mount Vernon.
Why?
Well,
he knows Andy.
Actually, the airport is NOTAM closed. You can't land there unless you are a National Waco Club member.
Ah, you have to be a member.
You
so
have to be a member.
If you want to be a member, can you fly, land there, and become a member there?
Yes, you can.
So that'll work.
Yes,
so
you
if
can.
You want to do it, you can do that.
Otherwise, we tell people to go to Knox County Airport, which is about 1 mile south. You can land there, and then they will bring you up to the airport so you can see the Wacos and go from there. And the only reason we do this... it's just because we're limited on our amount of parking space.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice big grass airport, but the way that we have all the parking laid out is the best for moving airplanes around when they want to go flying and that. So our transient parking is limited.
They're not being snobby, folks.
No.
It's
no.
very limited. Yeah, when I flew the Funk there last year, there's about enough parking on the side there for about maybe 10 airplanes comfortable
right.
that are non-members or members that are flying other things than walkouts.
Right.
So,
right.
which
so.
Is definitely something, you know.
So anyway, so that's what's going on.
Awesome.
Well, good.
I know. I noticed one thing that's new here in the big hangar. I guess our friend Brad flew in a, 1980 Super Decathlon belonging to one of his friends. I guess his name's Jonathan. I mean, that thing, I'm looking at it. What do you...
Mike, it's bright.
Mike, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you look at the color scheme?
Ronald McDonald.
Really?
Yes, this thing looks like it is the McDonald's Decathlon.
It should have a big M on the side, I
think. It should, and I think you could probably get that
and
sponsorship.
And you could wear a clown outfit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Ronald McDonald. And
just like him, but not him.
No.
Because of copyrights and all that stuff.
Exactly. I could be registered the ham, the hamburger guy. I could be the man with the big head in the back seat, just like, I'm going to get your burgers.
Exactly. And I'd be like, no, you're
I'm
not.
I'm
going to
get your burgers. You know,
that'd be a good good comedy routine for the air show tour.
Me with a big burger head?
Yeah, man, me and the clown outfit.
You in a clown outfit with big red
and
shoes.
Then, and then, yeah.
The I mean, you got big feet already.
I would prefer to wear a cape, though.
Prefer.
Yeah.
It could be like the Count Dracula guy, you know, from that show, the kids show, you know. It's like, I like to... Yeah, that's probably copyrighted, too. Probably won't talk about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, hey, another cool thing we got going on here at the airport. Who just moved in, Mike?
Buckeye. We talked to him.
Yep.
Buckeye Aviation. These guys, they're finally in a hangar, and they're finally working on airplanes. So Buckeye Aviation, they're...
I still don't understand why they went with Buckeye Aviation. Both their names are Matt. It's Matt and Matt. I would have went with something totally different. Like
M&M.
Yeah, M&M. I mean, it's...
Copyright. Darn it.
Gosh.
Can't trademark.
Yep.
Yeah, we got to watch what we say on this show.
With this. But, I mean, Buckeye Aviation, they started, well, there was something they had over there that they're fixing up. What was it?
Cessna 140.
140.
Yep, Cessna
140. Yep, just brought one in on a trailer, and been an airplane disassembled, and I guess they're going to put it back together.
Yes.
It looks neat. I looked at the inside, but I've never seen a complete Cessna, wings off, taken apart inside. It's actually really... really neat.
You know, I just happened to be glancing in the hangar, and I just realized we actually have another new airplane in the hangar.
I don't see it.
We have a Aronca Champ.
I don't see it.
There's wings back
there's the
there.
Wings there.
Pieces back there and around there.
Right.
And
hangar partner Tim Pinkerton just purchased a...
46, right?
Yeah, I think it's a 46 Aronca Champ.
The one I was going to buy.
And it's got an 85-horse Continental in it, though, so it's been upgraded.
So it's a 7 BCM, if I'm not mistaken.
So a nice flying airplane.
Yes, yes.
Assuming he gets it done.
Yeah,
I mean, it is all apart.
There's a lot of projects.
Yeah,
that's
it's a big
true.
Project.
Hey, folks, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back and pick off where we left off. Pick off, I say. God, it's good to be back.
Oh, God, we'll be right back, folks.
Hey, it's Matt from Warbird Radio Live. Listen, if you're trying to find something special for one of your aviation buddies, visit us online at warbirdradio.com/deals, D-E-A-L-S, warbirdradio.com/deals for some great offers from aviation memorabilia, just the cool stuff that all pilots will enjoy. You can find it at warbirdradio.com/deals. And remember, every dollar that you spend there on the deals page or even through our Amazon store, which is on the right side of the screen there, it helps keep the station on the air. And boy, every penny helps, and we certainly appreciate your business. Warbirdradio.com/deals.
Jeff Harold here from Shaden Precision Eyewear. Shaden offers unmatched headset comfort with the best in titanium and composite frames and non-polarized lenses. Eyewear for the true aviator. Visit us online now at Shaden.com. That's Scheyden.com. Again, Scheyden.com. Be sure to enter the promo code Warbird, and you're going to receive 30% off your order. Visit Shaden.com right now. Put in Warbird and get 30% off.
Our thanks to our friends at Aerospace Specialties, the industry standard for quality, craftsmanship, and precision. When it comes to handcrafted compound-formed Warbird parts, look no further than our friends at Aerospace Specialties. They've been doing this since 1971, and they're standing by now for your order. Aerospace Specialties, call them today, 304-647-5024. That's 304-647-5024.
Reminding you that radio engines don't leak oil. They just mark their territory. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
A bucket of fried chicken with some deep fried waffles. Now that's good. But this? Well, this is Hartman and Hill.
Hello, hello, hello!
Welcome back to Hangar Talk with Hartman and Hilton.
I didn't say my name.
I was introducing.
And I'm Andy Hines.
How's
that? You know, we do the whole, you know, hey, I'm Patrick Starfish.
Well, why don't you go next? Because he already went first. So we'll go backwards.
Okay, you did it. Oh, yeah.
You did it. And then you go.
I say Patrick Starfish Hilt here.
Mike Buzzard Hartman here.
For the Hartman and Hilt show?
Good.
Andy in the mail room.
I've already talked.
Yeah, but
we got to make sure the folks know who you are. Yeah. And your voice. You
in the mail room.
Hi, I'm Andy in the mail room.
Ah!
Here we go.
Mike Buzzard Hartman.
Well, where we left off a little bit ago in our last part there, we were talking about a couple things going on at the airport. There's something coming up here July 6th. What is that, Mike?
I believe it is an ultralight fly-in.
They're calling it open cockpit fly-in.
I thought it was just open flying.
You know, I'm not sure.
I thought they said everybody is welcome.
Everyone can come.
July 6th, 5th
here,
and 6th.
Here at I-73.
Right.
I-73, Dayton, Ohio.
Right. And I think they're planning on having a big cookout dinner that night.
Pulled pork.
It is a two-day flying.
Baked beans. So you can
Two days.
5th and 6th, right?
Yep.
Saturday, Sunday.
Wow. So if you come down here July 4th, we got the big boom boom fireworks. Hang out for a couple days.
Camp. Actually, the 5th and 6th would be Friday and Saturday.
That's right. I don't know that.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday.
Well,
it's July 6th is what he said, the big day. The big day is July 6th for the pulled pork, the baked beans, and some other stuff that they don't know yet, and the party, and lots of people.
You know what would be cool? If it flew in?
What's that?
Orion
Fireball
from
Chino. Fireball. God, I can't. Oh man.
Oh. Huh. By the way, I saw those pictures.
Yes.
That was great.
What pictures?
The pictures of the fireballs.
The squadron fireballs.
Oh man, it was cool.
I looked at those, and you said that's a fireball. I was like, I don't think that's a fireball.
It looked neat. Thank you for sending those in.
Definitely interesting.
Thank you. All right, so. Big topic.
It's big on Warbird Radio. It's big on a lot of the, what do they call that? The IA, what is that?
ICAS.
ICAS. What does it stand for, Mike? Andy? What does it stand for? Something.
We'll get back to that.
I don't know what it stands for. It's something about the aerobatics. I thought it was like an international something of aerobatics. But I guess the FAA.
Well, the ICAS is not the aerobatics. It's air show.
Air show. Okay, so it's air show.
The IC.
With the OPP down with you know me. I got that in there, didn't I? I did.
That was good.
But no, I was reading it. It's on Warbird Radio. They're talking about getting with your local government, I guess, talking to people, because the FAA wants to charge, $500,000, Andy?
Right. $500,000 to provide controllers for Oshkosh this year.
Because I know that you guys, I've never been to Oshkosh. I know you've been many, many times. And I know that, I actually thought it was volunteers that worked in the towers bringing people in. I didn't actually think it was paid, you know, FAA, you know, I thought it was volunteers, but I guess it's not. And they're charging for all those controllers to bring them all in.
Right.
And just, they kind of, I guess they kind of.
Well, in the way that, when I was an air traffic controller many, 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 many years ago, the way to go to Oshkosh was the tower there is normally staffed by several, you know, FAA controllers, but then they put out a countrywide bid to bring controllers in, and so you can bid to go work Oshkosh for that week.
Okay.
And you got paid for it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
International Council of Air Shows.
Is that what that's called?
That's what
International Council of Air Shows.
Yep.
But, I mean, I was blown away that they've kind of – I was reading an article that Matt Jolly posted.
But then, yes, going with the ICAS is that they're wanting now an incredible amount of money from each performer.
Oh, wow.
Let's say you and I do the clown routine.
Yeah.
And we bring up the decathlon, and we're like, here we are. And they're going to say, yeah, that's going to cost you $5,000.
Or so.
Around that area. I mean, it can be up to or around there.
I mean, I don't know if there's a set price. I was just reading vaguely Matt's post. And
That's ridiculous.
I guess the EAA is basically saying, you know, hey, you kind of got us here. You know, there's not much we can do. You know, the general aviation public has already, you know, spent money to get ready to go for this. And now you're going to just go ahead and throw a bill on us?
Yeah. You need to write congressmen on that
people,
one.
We definitely need to get together on something here and try to fix this problem.
write the FAA, because this isn't good, you know. We're all trying to go out there and have some fun and fly around and put shows on for people, and, you know, you'll get a snowball effect eventually, and it'll roll down to fly-ins one of these days.
Yep,
you know?
Exactly. Well, it's like they say, we're getting taxed on our gas for this stuff, you know. That's where we're paying it. Come on, you're really squeeze a little harder. It sounds right.
Exactly.
To me. It doesn't sound right to me.
And the air shows and everything has already taken a really big hit this year with none of the
military teams.
None of the military teams. Or even a jet coming in.
Yeah, right.
You know? Yep. Rich can't fly a C-17 in here. Future guest on the show, Rich.
Rich, C-17 pilot.
Yeah.
But it's crazy how they're actually doing away with a lot of the military bases, being able to use them for the air show. If you were even able to do an air show without military support flying aircraft, they're not letting you operate the base.
Well, yeah. And I'm curious to see. You know, we have the Dayton Air Show coming up next weekend.
Yeah,
and so I'm curious to see how that's all going to pan out.
Yeah, and we do have good acts coming in, but the people who aren't into aviation, like all of us are, or maybe some of you listeners aren't fully into it. They want to see those big acts. They don't know who the smaller acts are, but I'm looking at some of these smaller acts going, you are my God and I love you.
The Blue Angels.
People want to see them because they bring in money.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You know, the Blue Angels.
The Blue Angels.
And it took me to see the Blue Angels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you get.
I got a Blue Angel on a stick.
Oh, golly.
We love it.
I know.
We
it's in your it. Room. You sleep with it every night.
Yes. Yes. So. I got to keep blowing it up, though.
Well, you remember, though, I bought one, and then we walked around in formation.
Yes. That was nice.
Yep.
Andy and I have a lot of formation time together over the years. So when we walk, we walk in formation.
Exactly.
So not always in airplanes are you in formation.
Yes. Right. Exactly. I'm a few steps behind and to the right.
Right.
I'm just tucked right up in there, aren't you? Just tucked right up in there.
People think he's a mean guy or something. Like, don't walk next to me, because he yells at me when I get up next to him. He's like, I didn't tell you to go there.
But I thought you were trying to hold his hand when you walk by him.
I do that sometimes to embarrass him.
It works, though.
I do.
It does work.
I do. I like embarrassing Andy.
Right.
In stores. And
stores and in public. And air shows.
And one time, I'm sorry we're getting off topic, but this is funny.
It is funny.
We were at a hobby shop, and I'm not making fun, but this is funny. We were walking around looking at airplane stuff, and we go down the aisle with all the fantasy role-playing stuff.
Oh, like the trolls and the dungeon guys.
Yes.
And the knights.
Yes, and Andy's kind of zipping through,
Real quick.
I was at his 6 o'clock position.
Okay.
And
Information.
Right,
okay.
Exactly.
And I'm like, Andy, we must find, or no, what I said was, what? I said, Torbolina, we must find the Sword of Grabthar.
The Sword of Grabthar.
Yes.
Did you have to run to the trees?
Yes, it lies amongst the moss in the wood.
Did you drink the elven mead?
The elven mead we must drink to find the sword. Orgon's hordes are coming.
I just have to ask, what did Andy do?
Andy turned red, and he started walking faster. So I had to bump up the manifold pressure to catch up to him.
Well, because I noticed all the gamers within the hobby shop running towards you.
So they were definitely looking for the Sword of Torbolina.
Exactly.
They found it. They were coming to your assistance.
Exactly.
Yeah, and some of them had little cloaks on and capes, and, you know, some had bows and arrows, and they were running towards him.
They did not have bows and arrows in the store, did they?
And that is where I met
Patrick.
Well,
that's how you saw
it. That's how I remember it.
So what they were doing is wearing T-shirts and jeans, but you see swords.
Exactly.
And that's where I met Patrick. Because we combined forces.
Oh,
that
did
day.
You?
Yes,
I was not
did.
There looking for the Sword of Torbolina.
No, we
I was
bought meaning, tanks.
We bought tanks.
We bought
electric tanks.
Radio controlled tanks.
And they shoot at each other, and that died real quick. You know, it's like
it didn't last long. The whole tank.
I was like, you know what? $300, flush it.
If anybody thinks that it's fun to have remote controlled tanks in a hangar,
it is. No, it is.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it is. It's cool as hell.
I didn't think so.
But you got to have a lot of batteries.
Yeah, they run out.
A lot of batteries.
Yeah, buy like 12 packs
of lots.
50 batteries
50
per
batteries
pack.
A pack.
Right.
So you know you're going to blow up them tanks.
Right,
quick.
Exactly.
So, but it was fun. I had a good time. I liked it. So, but Mike?
Yes?
We all know my favorite airplane is a B-17.
Is it really?
We all know Andy's
Is it a specific B-17?
The B-17G. And we know Andy's favorite airplane, of course, is the Spitfire. And I'm going to have to say that your favorite airplane is something that is like an insect or something?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
What is it, Michael?
The S-17 Honeybee.
The Honeybee?
I'm sorry.
The Honeybee,
just made
don't
that
they?
Up. You said an insect.
Wait, Honeybee, that's what they use for the Porter Johns.
That's a Honey Dipper.
Honey Dipper. Oh, I'm sorry. I got
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
They come over there and go...
Yeah, the Porter John, also
You're
known
here
as...
to clean it.
What do they call it? What do they call it?
Honey Dipper.
No, the Porta Johns. They got a nickname.
Thunderbox.
Thunderbox.
You know what?
Yeah.
If they're painted brown, it's yeah. the chocolate Thunderbox.
You know, I noticed that, and that's no joke. At Oshkosh,
it actually, yeah, it says it.
It says
it?
Color
chocolate.
So it's chocolate Thunderbox on stage.
Yeah.
Chocolate Thunderbox ready to rock.
Are you ready to rock?
With? Chocolate Thunderbox.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it is so good to be back. I love this. This is great.
I never heard that until like our friend EZ told us about that. The chocolate Thunderbox.
Chocolate Thunderbox.
So why do you call them a Thunderbox? Because when you go in them, you make thunder. So, seriously, what is the airplane that the people already know what it is, but you want to talk about?
The P-61 Black Widow, which was America's first aircraft for that specific reason.
What?
Night fighting.
Really?
Yes, it fought at night. And really quickly, folks, before we get into this, there are four P-61 Black Widows in existence, and three of them are not flying. You could find one of them here at the Museum of the United States Air Force.
Formerly known as the Air Force Museum. That's
yeah.
How we
oh, really? Now we got to...
Oh, right. So we're backstepping.
So we're backstepping. So
now,
we say the Air
after,
Force Museum.
Remember show number one?
Yeah.
Right, I know.
That's
okay. I know, but that's
Air
why
Force
I said formally.
Air Force of the United States.
No.
Formally.
Museum.
Excuse me, cough button, by
cough
the way.
Cough button, you
didn't work. Anyway, the fourth one I'm talking about is Mid-Atlantic Air Museum. And they actually recovered one in New Guinea.
In New Guinea?
It was on the side of a mountain. And they went in there and they got it. And they're rebuilding this thing. And what's going to make it different from the other three is this one's actually going to fly sometime. And
well,
for
that,
those of
that,
you who... Oh, go
that,
ahead.
That would be different, Michael.
It's totally
because
different.
Because it's going to be flying.
Because it's going to be flying.
So that would be different.
Exactly. P-61, a blow up on a stick.
That's not cool, Mike.
Okay, that's not
cool.
That's not cool.
That's
not
I cool. honestly, seriously thought that P-61 was a fake airplane. All the years growing up, walking through the Air Force Museum, United States Air Force, yeah, I always looked at the airplane and I was like, just kept going around. I never really read anything about the aircraft. And then when we went there and you showed me, I was like, by golly, that is actually a real airplane?
It's the real deal.
I thought it was fake. I thought you, because you have one on your jacket, and I'm like, oh, he's got one on his jacket. You just have one made up or something.
And I painted that on his jacket.
Yeah, but you got a bunny rabbit on it. So.
yeah, Andy actually painted the P-61 on my jacket. It's really cool. We'll get some pictures of that. But for those of you who aren't familiar with this warbird.
Oh, my gosh, we got a goose.
We got geese.
We got geese.
Uh-oh.
They're probably Canadian.
We just got
they
buzzed
are.
By
oh
Canadian
gosh.
Geese.
We got buzzed.
They're like, Gator, how you doing down there, eh?
Going around and all.
What's your show all about?
A boat? What?
A boot.
A boat? Boot?
What?
A boot. I don't
we
know.
Going fishing?
Fishing.
We're going fishing.
But for those of you who aren't familiar with the P-61, like I said, in the United States, this is a World War II aircraft, and it was used... In a night fighting role. It was used in all theaters of World War II, believe it or not. And contrary to popular belief, the aircraft actually did show up in the Battle of the Bulge. And it was actually used in a ground attack role there. This thing has four 20-millimeter cannons in the belly.
Is that big?
Oh, yeah.
How big is that?
20 Mike Mike. Explosive
How
rounds.
That
it's like that
so,
by that.
Oh, so it's 20 millimeters round.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got that.
Yeah, it is a big, nasty, explosive rounds, HE, high explosive. Okay. And then the earlier models had 450 caliber machine guns on a turret on the top. And just like a brief thing about that turret, they were having some buffeting issues when it turned, and it would cause a vibration, so some of the models didn't have that top turret on it. Some of them had it again later on with only 250s. and then back to 450. So imagine 450 cals and 420 Mike mics. Just, oh, I mean, that is beautiful.
So it's kind of like an A10 Warhawk.
That is a 30-millimeter Vulcan cannon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that one's
really... And
that's
really a Gatling gun.
Yeah.
I heard that... So I read somewhere that those, when they fire them, they actually have to stop firing so they can get speed back, because it actually pushes... It slows them down when they fire that.
They do say it slows down, but I don't think enough to make you have to get speed back, you know.
Oh, because you would stall.
You'd stall if you shot it, and that wouldn't be good.
That would be bad.
No.
Very bad.
No. So. But I'll tell you what, I got a little side story with the A-10.
Okay.
Where my family always hunted up in Michigan, there's a practice range up there, and we always hunted right on the edges of this practice range, and at times the A-10s would be up there practicing. And you could go up there, and you could see the vehicles way out there on the range and watch them do their dive down, and they would fire those Gatling guns. Well, you think that, an engine sounds cool? That, well, do you hear that Gatling gun fire? All you hear is this, like that. And
really?
Then, and then you would just see a big cloud of smoke come up, with what they just blew up.
I want to go see that.
Oh, it was incredible.
I want to see that.
It was incredible.
Those are intense airplanes.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see that.
You strap those puppies on.
Yep.
I want to see that.
Anyway, getting back to the P-61, these things had two R2800 engines on them.
How big is that?
That's about 2,000 horsepower. That's 14 cylinders of... Oh, yeah.
Wait. It's 14 cylinders...
Hello?
What?
Hey, this is Ernie. Hey, Ernie. Hey. How you doing? I want to talk about the Warthog.
Yeah, what about the Warthog there, Ernie?
I'm sitting next to her right now watching a movie.
Oh,
jeez.
Bye, Ernie.
Bye, Ernie.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Lord.
Was he talking about his wife again?
I think so. Oh. He's not good with his wife. Anyway, an R2800, these things produced, you know what an F4U Corsair is?
Of course.
That's the same engine on the Corsair.
But two of them.
Two of them.
Really?
And we're starting out at 2,000, and through the P-61's gradual progression through the years, folks, we get up to 2,800 horsepower a side. I'm so excited. Three-man crew.
Wow.
You had a pilot, a radar guy, and a gunner, and sometimes you only had a two-man crew in these aircraft, and they had a radar in them, and at night... They could search for airplanes. And the original radars were only out to about 5 miles, nothing compared to what we have now. But back then it was a big breakthrough. So you got the enemy in there flying along over the ocean. And you're in your P-61, and you got them on the radar, and you're talking to them, and they're talking to you, your people, by the way, and you start vectoring yourself in nice and easy. And then you get up behind them, and then you got it in your sights.
You are really bouncing right
now. Oh, and then 450s and 420s.
Yeah.
Burp!
So,
that's all it takes.
So what you're saying is, it got a good name, the Black Widow.
Oh, yes, very good name.
Because it was a very good stalking airplane, too.
It was a stalker. They ended up putting hard points on the wings later on, so you actually could carry bombs on it. Like I said, it made an appearance in the Bulge, and an interesting fact about this... is we had it was in the Philippines, and Bataan, and I think Andy knows this story about the P-61. There was movies made about rescuing our troops who were taken by the Japanese, and they were put out there in this prison camp, and it was a wide open field between our guys to go save them and them, and Andy, how did we cover that ground to help our guys get out of there?
They flew around in a P-61.
They flew around in a P-61.
They just flew around?
Yes.
Yeah, they actually just flew around and they would...
And intimidate them enough.
And intimidate. They would gun the engines and make noise, and it caused all the guards to look up to see what this airplane was doing, and everybody was focused on this airplane.
Really?
And this is how all the Rangers were able to traverse the field and surprise the Japanese and rescue.
And get our guys out.
True story?
True story.
Heck yeah, like
now,
that.
In the movie, they're using a, it's a twin. Was that Osprey?
Oh, I never saw them in the movie.
Okay. It's not a P-61, obviously.
Right.
But, this airplane was used to help our guys. The enemy, when they saw this thing, They were like, holy cow, what the heck's that? And then when they saw what it could do, they were afraid of that airplane.
I mean, you definitely look at it, it definitely looks like an odd-looking airplane.
Oh, it is. It's a big, nasty, ugly thing.
It's huge, ugly, and it's big and mean.
Yes, So people, if we want to see one of these things fly, I think that would be awesome.
That would be cool.
Get in touch with the Mid-Atlantic Air Museum there.
Right.
And
yeah, absolutely taking donations.
Yeah,
yes. Get those guys to get a P-61 in the air.
That'd be awesome.
And if you have any questions or comments about it, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, post them on the site.
Yeah.
And we can go over that and, you know, look some stuff up for them.
And we just hit these airplanes quickly on a show, but figured that's one that I've been wanting to talk about. And if we can get a blow-up one on a stick, I'm going to be a happy camper.
But it's not like the Blue Angels.
No, it's pretty like the one Black Widow.
Oh, right.
Gosh.
All right, folks.
All right, so what's the next topic?
Well, the next topic comes up after what, Patrick?
Oh, we're taking a break?
Yes, we are.
All right, we're going to take a break here, and then we'll be right back after some commercials.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hey, it's Matt from Warbird Radio Live. Listen, if you're trying to find something special for one of your aviation buddies, visit us online at warbirdradio.com/deals, DEALS, warbirdradio.com/deals, for some great offers from aviation memorabilia, just the cool stuff that all pilots will enjoy. You can find it at warbirdradio.com/deals. And remember, every dollar that you spend there on the deals page or even through our Amazon store, which is on the right side of the screen there, it helps keep the station on the air. And boy, every penny helps, and we certainly appreciate your business. Warbirdradio.com/deals.
Jeff Harold here from Shaden Precision Eyewear. Shaden offers unmatched headset comfort with the best in titanium and composite frames and non-polarized lenses. Eyewear for the true aviator. Visit us online now at Shaden.com. That's Scheyden.com. Again, Scheyden.com. Be sure to enter the promo code Warbird, and you're going to receive 30% off your order. Visit Shaden.com right now. Put in Warbird and get 30% off.
Our thanks to our friends at Aerospace Specialties, the industry standard for quality, craftsmanship, and precision. When it comes to handcrafted compound-formed Warbird parts, look no further than our friends at Aerospace Specialties. They've been doing this since 1971, and they're standing by now for your order. Aerospace Specialties, call them today, 304-647-5024. That's 304-647-5024.
Reminding you that radio engines don't leak oil. They just mark their territory. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Broadcasting from the epicenter of their universe, this is Hartman and Hill.
Hello, hello, hello! I am Mike Buzzard Hartman.
And I'm Patrick Starfish Hilt. And this is the Hartman and Hilt Show. Andy is in the mailroom. Andy, say hello again.
Hello again, Andy.
Wait, I didn't say it like that, did I?
No,
I said say hello.
Say hello again, Andy.
Hello again. How's that?
Andy.
Is that better?
Did I say Andy at the end
of
that?
Did you say Andy?
I don't think I did.
I think you just said...
I'm Andy Ace Hines. How are you?
He's back with the Ace.
He's back with the Ace.
That's all right.
We'll give it to you. It is your nickname.
It is, yeah.
For
something. Before we took, what were we talking about before we took break?
We were talking about the P-61.
Talk about the
sugar lines.
We're gonna move
God.
On.
Sugar lines. You know, our friend Rich down here actually sent me an email. He actually had it wasn't a sugar glider, but it was a flying squirrel for 12 years.
Yep.
It bit his dog on the nose.
Yes, it bit it. I mean, he said these things got fangs. They got like teeth and they just swoop in on you.
Swoop in on you.
I want one.
He said their
you
head
don't
want
to be walking through the woods at night.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, you want to come to my house? Watch out. I got dive bombers on the corners here. Sick them.
Be like the movie The Birds.
Right, exactly.
Trademark
but
registered.
They're mammals. But they're mammals. Yeah, and they get the skin that opens up. You know, they're more scared of you than you are of them.
They are.
Or is it, you know, you're more scared of them than they are of you?
I don't know.
They've got teeth.
I just know you're into flying mammals.
I like that. You know, and I actually got told by Rich, who had the flying squirrel, that said that if I threw one out of an airplane, which I would never do, PETA, sorry, if I threw one out of the airplane, they get disoriented because they don't know what they're looking at, and they'll actually just fly to their death.
They will, because they can't size up.
Yeah, they can't size up where they're at. But another neat thing is when they go through the sky, through the air, whenever they're like, woof, and the thing, when they land, they grab onto trees and they flip themselves to the other side because they always think an owl is following them.
Huh. Did you know you
kind of like a P-61?
Wow.
Yes.
Sneaking in upon you like an
sneaking
owl.
Sneaking in.
And owls, you don't hear them when they're flying.
Like a P-61.
They have feathers that muffle their sound.
Really?
Yeah, you can see one like fly over you in the woods at night.
I've never seen an owl fly.
You won't hear that. You don't hear that.
I don't hear that anyways.
Because you've never seen one flying.
Yeah, I've never seen one flying.
Ah.
Looks like we've got a visitor.
We do. We're going to have a visitor in a minute. Here. Folks, Patrick came up with an idea.
Yeah, I did. Didn't I?
You did.
I did. It's a new segment. That's what we're
going to talk
about.
New segment.
A new segment that I wanted to try to start because I liked how the way it worked last time when we were talking about learning to fly.
Yes.
And I thought of a name of the segment. We could call it So You Want to Fly.
So you want to fly.
So you want to fly.
So you
want to
fly.
Or it should be, so you want to fly.
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 So
you
want
to fly.
To fly.
Flying up.
That's right.
Going up in the great blue wild.
I think it's kind of something that's kind of cool because if you think about it, there's always people out there wondering, what do I have to do to learn to fly? Or what's the steps I need to take? Or they've got questions, hey, I've been flying, 6 hours, 7 hours, and I haven't soloed yet. Stuff like that. And they get freaked out. I think it'd be kind of cool, have people write in some questions about, hey, I'm learning to fly. What should I do next? Or I've got an instructor I've got issues with, I think it'd be a cool segment.
Called?
So You Want to Fly.
Nice!
So You Want to Fly.
It's so good to be back.
I think it's great.
That's wonderful. We're going to have segments now.
Segments?
Segment.
Okay, well, we have actually a question.
Okay.
That was posted on the website.
You've got the questions written down there.
It's from Mr. Eric Zimmerman.
Easy. He had written into us once before.
Yep.
And I love this guy because he's getting the premise. He's liking it.
He likes the show. And you can see his airplane on Warbird Radio at
A Night at Marine Air Park.
His is the Waco UPS 7.
UPS 7. Yep.
And you'll see it at the National Waco Club Flying.
Yes.
Hey!
So, he had a question here. There's a very odd airplane, okay? It's called the Brisby Bung Master.
The Brisby.
I'm assuming it's probably British, of course, or something like that. But he had some questions about how they operate, some different things. Like one of the questions here is, what is the starting procedure to get the Brisby running?
Well, since us three are pretty much the only people who are actually current in a Brisby.
We are professional.
And you cannot
see. I let mine slip.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You need to get
you
back up there.
You haven't flown it?
No.
You need to get back on that.
Oh, my goodness.
But I noticed that you approach it with enthusiasm.
Oh, yes.
Mike loves this airplane.
I'm guessing he probably puts 3 to 5 hours in it a day.
A day.
At least.
It's a great airplane.
At least.
And if you come to Marine Air Park, you can't see it because
we've
got it locked away.
It's in a special hangar.
Yep.
It's like one of those birds that you know about, like, the Butler Blackhawk, but you never see it. It's there, but you never see it.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
It's just I went to Broadhead.
I've seen it.
Well, I went to Broadhead hoping to see the plane, and I was, it's open. You can go see it. I go over there. Not there.
That's because
not there. It's like
I telephoned him.
You did not.
And I said,
Close the door.
Shut the door. He's on his way.
Every time. Just every time.
I didn't see it this year either, or last year.
So, Mike.
I have seen it, though. Yes.
The Brisby.
Yes.
How do you start it again?
Because I can't start it.
I can't remember myself.
Come on.
Okay,
now.
I know how you start it.
We got to field these together.
Okay,
it's the Hartman and Hilt show.
Okay. Well,
the Hilton Hartman show.
Okay, Eric.
I'll do the start.
Why are you changing the names? It's Hartman and Hilt. Your name's longer.
Bringing
you
in. Okay.
I'm okay with it. I've coped with that problem.
I approached the airplane.
I take Prozac.
That might be a disqualifier.
I take generic.
It's not actually called Prozac.
It's on the list.
It's generic.
It's a bear aspirin.
Yes.
Bear aspirin.
Bear aspirin.
bear aspirin?
I thought you said bear aspirin.
Like bear ass.
I was like,
bear, bear aspirin. Right?
No, I don't take that.
Andy takes bear aspirin.
Bear aspirin.
Okay.
How do you start it?
The Brisby. Yes. You approach it from the side, and it's a lot like an inertial starter, except there's no crank.
No crank.
Yes, it's a pelvicular thrusting action.
Kind of like a pump in a way.
Yeah, you've got this, like, U-shaped thing, okay. And you kind of step into it,
okay.
And you just start going.
Yeah, so you
there
get
the, you go.
Yeah, kind of like when you're doing that.
Yep. And then it starts up. And that's approaching from the side
of it. From the side of it.
Yes.
So you're actually not.
Yeah, but how do you prime the airplane to start it, though?
Well, that's easy. It's like a breathalyzer.
Oh.
You got this tube, you got to make sure you blow into it really hard. Uh-huh. The alcohol content of your breath has to equal that of the fuel.
Wow.
Yes, it's very crazy for the primer because you've got to get that.
But no
gas
more than
in there.
0.04%.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And you got to fly at least 8 hours.
Yeah.
Boy, he's with the Prozac and the bear aspirin and the.
Well, this airplane's such a rare bird. That's why, you know, we're the only
bird
in it. I mean, come on. That's why you have to fly it. Back in those days when they made this airplane, there were no regulations.
That's true.
So there
that's
you true. Go.
In Alaska, it's legal.
That's right. So, and another question here. What is the lubricant that the Brisby requires or that we would recommend? I mean, what are we using again on that thing?
We use the special.
The H&H Magic Goo.
H&H Magic Goo.
That's what we use.
And that lubes that Brisby right up.
It's probably the best lubricant I think that's on the market.
What about duck butter?
Oh,
well, that's very...
Well,
it's rare to get that stuff. I mean, it's based out of Africa. So, I mean, you have to have it imported into customs. It's tough.
Duck butter.
It's very tough.
It works if you can get it.
If you can get it, it's very rare.
If you can get it, it's
very,
good
very rare.
Stuff.
Very good stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how it comes out of the tube.
Okay.
So, the next question he has here is a Brisby sluggish on the controls or light?
I find that it's mediocre. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Brisby, EZ, this is a little difficult to fly this airplane. If you remember back in the day, bicycles with banana seats, it sort of has foot stirrups in the floor. You slide your feet into that, and you sit on this banana seat.
Yeah, because there's no seat belts. The stirrups are what actually
hold
you in it if you go inverted.
And there's 7 different banana seat adaptions.
Yeah, adjustment sizes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that way you fit to the contour of the airplane.
Of the seat. And and that's your rudder.
That's your rudder. You move that
side to side.
That's your rudder.
Side to side.
And then
so like an ultralight, the early ultralight.
Yeah, it's like
a almost
like
lighter.
Yeah, like a weight shift in a way.
All right.
And then,
except you're actuating.
Or a Blériot.
Yeah. Something like that even.
You know, something like that, like wing warping. Anyway.
Not really. It's connected.
But,
okay.
But the most intricate, the most intricate part of flying this is actually the elevator and aileron control. The actual control stick comes out of the center of the actual instrument panel.
Right.
You actually have to apply your mouth to this mouth guard. All right. So the forward and back motion on the stick, pulling it in and out, basically will actually, you know, up and down, the oscillations for, you know, up and down.
So in is down, and back is up.
Exactly. And then when you actually want to turn, you kind of turn your head like, you know, you're kind of going, shaking side to side. And that, you know, controls the roll motion.
Yes.
So that's exactly how the controls work.
And your hands are on the throttle.
Hands on the throttle, of course, you know, car P and everything there, trims, all done by your hands like anything else. Me personally, I think it handles kind of like in between of an ultralight and probably like a DC-3. I mean, it's light but heavy.
It is,
and it's stiff but soft. So,
nice.
I mean, it's right around in there.
Nice.
I know Andy's not real current in it, so it's kind of hard to, you know, see how he feels about it.
Yeah, he's night flying it.
Oh wow! His last question here, Mike. You would definitely have to answer this. Does a Brisby experience a lot of vibration?
Yes, it does. It'll shake your teeth out of your head.
It's like watching the guys with the jackhammers on the concrete
on
the streets.
Yes.
It's hard to fly it because the mouthpiece.
Yes.
You're shaking so much.
Yes.
It's almost like pilot-induced oscillation.
And I would appreciate it if you don't use my Brisby mouthpiece. I noticed you used it the other day.
I apologize about that. That is my fault. I left mine at home.
Okay, that's all right.
But you know what? It fits just the same, so...
That's true!
And I did sterilize it, so you know it's ready to go, and I filled the tank when I was done.
Good.
You know, just like we always talk about, fill up the tanks.
Nice.
Fill up the tanks.
And so. Did Eric have, is that it?
Well, that was the last question, but there was one last comment here that is kind of funny here. He got, okay, we sent him, you know, the H&H Magic Goo.
Yes.
We sent that to him.
Yes.
Because we were talking about lubricant slash shell here. He tried cleaning his, I didn't know this. He tried cleaning the front cockpit of his UPF 7. Something about you left a mess in the front from sleeping in it for 2 weeks?
Well, that's an interesting story. There's really no excuse.
You were sleeping in that?
I did.
I didn't know that.
I stayed in the airplane.
Why?
Because I flew
the
airplane, and I wanted to be at one with it.
Really?
I love the airplane.
So you were one with Eric's airplane?
I was yes, I was.
Really? Wow, Eric, I apologize that he was one with your airplane.
He was gracious enough, though. Well, to let me stay in it.
It's very nice. I mean, you probably didn't even know it, though.
That's true. Sorry,
but you're trying to use... Okay, Eric, this is the problem. You're using the H&H Magic Goo. Wrong stuff. That's more of a lubricant. What you need to use... What was the new product we got coming out? The H&H...
Stripper...
Something...
abrasive...
It's the H&H Get It Off... Stripper.
Get It Off Stripper.
Get It Off, the H&H Get It Off Stripper.
All you got to do, Eric, is put a little goo on there to prep it and then add the stripper to it, and it makes a chemical reaction. And that pretty much cleans off anything. It's better than MEK or mineral spirits. It's even better than Stoddard solvent. You can use it on windows. And it's also safe around pets.
And you can actually eat it if you need to. Like, it's a good hot sauce, actually, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very, 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 very,
friendly. Don't mix it with the goo before you eat it.
No, bad. That's bad.
Don't eat the goo.
The chemical reaction of
eat
that
to get it off.
Eating it, it's bad. It's good for cleaning, not for eating.
Yes.
I think that answered Eric's question the best.
Yes, I think it did. I think it did. And I would like to say thanks to Jeff for writing in. We had a comment.
Yeah, we had a comment from Jeff. He was talking about some guy that got to go to the Blue Angels. And Mike, who was the guy?
Me!
That was
I got to see the Blue Angels!
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Sorry, Jeff, we didn't have any airplanes cracking props in the background tonight. Got a late start, and looks like a lot of people just weren't down here to fly tonight. So.
We had geese.
Yeah, the Canadian geese. They take over the airport sometimes.
Dayton Air Show coming up.
Dayton Air Show's coming up. That's a big thing that's coming up. Couple things we got coming. Sky Ranger, hopefully we'll get that done. So that can go to Mount Vernon for the Waco fly-in.
Get your funk sold.
It'd be nice if someone would come and buy my funk. I know that Matt Jolly is still trying to sell his L2M, I think it is. So hopefully he'll sell that. Maybe I can beat him and sell the funk first.
So it's a race.
I think I'll beat him. I don't think Matt's got much on me. I mean, the funk is like one of a kind.
Are you willing to go lower, though, just to sell it before Matt?
It depends on how low we go. And how low will Matt go? I mean, I'm not going to drop it like $7,000 to beat Matt.
I mean, right, no, I understand. Well, and there's a difference, quite a difference between prices.
Funk and the L2. I mean, come on, there's no comparison.
Yeah, but, well, the Funk's a faster airplane.
Oh, it is.
It's zippy fast.
It's a lot faster.
Zippy fast.
It's so fast. Yep.
Hey, Matt, you should buy my airplane.
It's faster.
Come on,
buy my airplane, Matt. I mean, geez.
Or just trade straight up, then you can have a Warbird.
I don't really like the.
Isn't OD Green great?
Really?
If I ever had an airplane...
Actually, yes.
Well, it makes fixing it easy.
Exactly.
Just rattle can it.
Rattle can the heck out.
Yeah.
I'm going to paint the UPF if I ever do it.
No, you're not. You say you're going to go black and...
Black with white sunburst.
White sunburst.
But I think OD would be cool. There's no OD UPF out there.
The Golf. Ever.
Ever.
My golf cart is OD Green. Yeah. And today our friend Brian actually gave me some gold hubcaps for it.
He's styling now.
He is.
That right is classy. That is a classy mobile, my friends. I think
he needs a lift kit.
He does. Get a lift kit for your golf cart.
I looked at them.
And neons... underneath.
Oh.
Well, if we're going to do that, I'm just going to put hydraulics on it and make that.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Air show coming through. Mm-hmm. Air show coming through.
See? Mm-hmm. With the neons on.
If you can only see us now, folks.
What was that?
That was my little record.
That was the funky funk.
Yes.
Don't let the needle skip.
Oh.
Did you scratch the record?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Folks, this has been... a great show.
Great show.
It's been wonderful to be back with all of you. Keep the comments coming, Patrick, right?
Definitely. Keep the comments coming. Questions. Like I said, the new segment we got, So You Want to Fly.
Yes.
Send us some questions. You know, if you're learning how to fly right now and you You know, you're at that point where you're like, I don't know, I'm stuck. Send them in.
Or you don't know how to start flying.
That's always a good one. Where do you start? Because, you know, there's always a way to start, and it's really nice. Andy, you're leaving on me? Okay. Andy's leaving again. I guess we're going to have to close out the show without Andy.
All right.
Hopefully next week we'll get to cutting grass. I mean, we've been talking about cutting grass all this time. Maybe next week we'll get to cutting grass. Dave.
Dave, the airport guy.
Maybe Rich.
Might talk to Rich, the C-17 pilot.
Maybe we can get our friend Mike Lucas to get on the radio again, since, you know, he's doing pretty good.
And that's good. But anyway, folks, we can't wait to see you again for the Hartman and Hilt Show. I'm Mike Buzzard Hartman.
I'm Patrick Starfish Hilt, and we've had fun, and I hope you did too. Have a good night.
Good night.
Why?
Two.
Man, I didn't say that.
One.
This is Warbird Radio.